Mazda. Get an end of financial year bonus on Mazda BT50.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Would be second or maybe third book you've read in your 52-year life.
Put moron number two on the phone.
First.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working over time. Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
No, it's nice and cold and wintry here in Melbourne, so just get around your wireless bill.
Get around it.
Get around your radio and enjoy the finest 2 hours you'll come across, of course, the Rush Hour. Now, I'll tell you what we've got coming up. Tony Jones, our man, the Chompers.
Oh, don't. Jim.
On here, Bill.
Don't call him Chomp.
We're going to find out about that. We're going to find out about some of the big stories that are kicking around. We're going to find out about the presser yesterday with the boss at City Hall and how he just got front and centre, the Chomp.
He did. He was very good.
And a bit of nice piece out of him, too.
I reckon he was best on ground.
All right, we'll find out all about that Sunday footy show, of course, all of the above.
Yes.
A little bit of topics, Brayshaw, which will get us off nicely to a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then midweek rub, second hour, Nafe and Damo in. And my goodness, plenty to talk about, Bill, in the world of football. I don't want to tread on any of it because I know you're about to go there. But lots to discuss midweek rub. Hello to you, fat boy.
What's up, Jim? Great to be with you. G'day to you. G'day to the listeners. G'day to you, Rabs.
I'm sorry to get emotional, but I've lost it. Thank you.
Oh, what about it? And again with Trevor Barker the other day. Oh. So what's happened to Spud?
Then he reckons he was kryptonite the other day because he held Ablett to so many goals in a 10
like,
games
like
or 20 something.
Or something, and then we found out.
The stats man, Swamp, I think it was, said, no, Spud.
He was closer to 50 in those games.
He did do well against Ablett, I'll give him that.
Well, what held him to 25 more than he reckons?
Well, he did, because they used to fight and wrestle all the time. We got a link for my rap.
Oh,
no. Oh, no, I'll just get into it.
Are you going to be nice?
No. The World Cup, Jimmy. You've been watching the World Cup cricket? I love the World Cup cricket.
I
love it. Did you watch Owen Morgan?
Owen Morgan.
He hits the ball as good as anyone.
Well, they are, in fact, let's just expand this out a little bit. They are the most dangerous batting team in the comp.
They are. Played Afghanistan last night. Won by 150 runs, if you don't mind, Jim.
And that's without old mate Roy, who's missing a couple
of
games.
Done a hammy. And Morgan, 148. 148, Jim, off 71 balls. 17 sixes.
Yes.
Breaks the record for the most sixes.
He strikes it beautifully. So does Joss Butler. So does Johnny Bairstow. They've got a very dangerous batting group.
Joe Root. He's going all right.
Very nice.
He 88.
And you know how strong they are when James Vince is the player you bring in. Very good player, James Vince.
Exactly.
They're dangerous with the bat, not as much with the ball.
But they were very, very good. They won that easy. Yes. Rashid Khan, poor old Rashid.
What about that?
Oh, what about
the outside car?
Well, he made 100, Jim.
He did.
Unfortunately, it was bowling. Nine overs, no maidens, none for 110.
So a sidecar with no passenger in it. That's you never want that, Bill.
Jim.
You never want that.
Nine overs, none for 110.
Yes.
There's only one that's been worse in 50-over cricket, Jim. I'm not saying World Cup cricket, but 50-over cricket. Guess who it was?
Oh, don't say it. He will cut up rough.
He will cut up rough.
Mickey Lewis.
Come
on, Mickey. What happened?
Ten overs, none for 113. Mickey boy.
What about Brett Lee tells the story, openly tells it, so it's not like a match-fixing thing or anything. At the SCG, I reckon it is, they've got the honour boards for the hundreds and the fifers. He was on. He had 4 for 205 or something, and he said, I desperately tried not to get the fifth because I never wanted that on the honour board. You know when old mate from India, VVS Laxman, made 200 and whatever he made?
Yes.
And Bing said, I did everything I could not to get a fifth wicket, so I did because I never wanted to see that written on a board anywhere.
Because Sarfraz, remember, he took 9 for 1?
Oh, in Melbourne that was.
Melbourne, that was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
The Matildas, Jim, I've been on them all the time.
Not sure what that's got to do with taking 5 for 200, but anyway.
Just popped in my head.
It just came out of nowhere.
Matildas, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
They won 4-1 last night, this morning, over Jamaica.
Yes.
And how many goals do you reckon Sam Kerr kicked out of the four?
Suck on that.
Yeah, suck on that, Kerr. How many you reckon she kicked?
Oh, you tell me.
Out of the four.
How many?
Well, she scored at the 11-minute mark.
Yes.
The 42nd-minute mark.
Oh, yes.
The 69-minute mark.
Rumbles.
And the 83.
A four.
A four. What's that called?
A quadruple.
What do they call that? Because there's a brace and then there's a...
Hat-trick.
Hatch, they haven't got a fall, have they?
I don't know.
Well, you know everything. You sit there with a stupid smirk. But my people tell me, Jim, still struggling in defence. Okay, right. Forward and things like that. Down back, they're struggling.
Righto.
But they play the finals now, Norway. If they win that, they move through. If they lose, they're out. So good luck to the Matildas. The
sports wrap yesterday, first six stories AFL. We still haven't got to one, even though the news is as big, the week's as big with news.
We've got Sam Kerr here kicking a couple of goals, by the way, Jim.
Okay. Oh, look at Rabbits. Where's he at?
It's a decent ball. Good header. And it's in. What a goal, Sam Kerr. Good shape to the corner. Kerr. 2-0 Australia. Hayley Ratto drives it in. Sam Kerr. Hat-trick for Australia's darling. Back to McClure, who makes a gap. And it's the fourth goal for Sam Kerr.
Four goals, Jim. That was a howler.
Bill.
I do everything I can to bring a great sports report, Jim.
Any danger of you two getting on the same page?
I bring everything I can to bring one of the best sports reports. Everyone listens to it. They know what's happening in the world of sport. All I need is a button pusher that can actually just go plonk with his finger and push a button.
I did, and there was a delay in the computer.
I knew there'd be something. I knew it wouldn't be. You're like him.
It's a decent ball. Good header. What a goal, Sam Kerr.
James Pattinson, Jim.
Oh, Pato.
Who's over there playing county cricket, 6 for 73 overnight.
Yes.
And Barack Obama.
It's a sports rap.
Yeah. Guess who he follows? Who's his number one team in Australia is in basketball?
Who?
Illawarra Hawks.
Why?
Because that's where LaMelo Bell or Ball's gone.
Oh, no.
LaMelo Ball has gone there. I told you that.
He doesn't follow the New Zealand Breakers because of that other bloke.
RJ Hampton. Right. He's gone there. But Barack's following them. And also, Jim.
What's Barack Obama got to do with the Illawarra
Hawks? Well, it's an all wrap.
Right.
Rumours are swirling, Jim.
Oh, hello.
As Qantas set to announce major changes that will affect frequent flyer points.
Hello.
Stand by.
Well, what are those rumours?
Well, I can't say too much yet because they haven't announced them officially, but there's going to be something going on there.
I did tell you. How long ago was it, Fat?
What?
A decade ago?
You wrote an email.
I did say that the winds have changed, that particular airline. Get off and move to the other mob.
Well, this is
the single smartest thing I ever told you, and you didn't listen to any of it.
Well, I don't listen to a lot.
No.
A major change is happening there, Jim.
Are there?
Yes.
Right.
At the Qantas with the frequent flyers. Really? That'll affect 12 million people.
Well, I'll tell you who it won't affect.
Who?
Me.
Yes.
Good. All right, Bill.
Yes,
we
that
need
is
to
it.
Get, so not a football story in there anywhere.
Well, I learnt yesterday because all I got was not another one.
So now you've just left it out.
It's an all-round sports report.
Is it really?
And it's gone for a bit.
All right, it has. It's gone for too long,
do you
actually.
Need Sam Kerr?
That's a decent ball. Good header. And it's in.
I'm going to have a chat to you after.
All right. Tony Jones we speak to next. Our man, the Chompers.
Chomp!
Now, Bill, out of respect for the one of the more preeminent figures in football journalism in this state, I don't want you to call him Chompers.
No, I won't.
Or anything to do with the fact that his teeth are whiter than they would naturally be, or any of the above.
I've got respect for this man.
All right.
He's my boss on Sunday.
Does a magnificent job across the board. So, Tony, while we're here.
Righto.
Chompers, are you there?
Oh, Jim!
Wow. Well, my God, you couldn't see that coming.
That's not some of the beautiful humour we roll with on this show, Tone. How are you, Tone, by the way?
Yes, I'm very, very well, thank you, James. And Billy, great to be here.
And I love the Sunday footy show, you know I do. You all have a great time on it. And Lou's handball is back, which I'm enjoying.
Yes, I know. It's. I tell you what, you must be ready to come back and host it, James. We're on this rotation system.
It's going beautifully. But you know I did win the handball against Adam Simpson one famous day, Tone.
Yeah, well, look, Bill, James, I'm sort of the view now that hosts shouldn't take part in handball.
Of course you are.
I think we just leave it to the expert. Oh. And we'll just put that in the same basket as a couple of other faux pas along the journey.
No, well done. Well said, Tane. What about last week, Tane? We had a AFL player on. It was Dale Morris. Mm. And we had a superstar. We get him from the local leagues. He was an interesting one. He was very happy with himself, Tane, wasn't he?
Yeah, Maverick. Was it from Whitehorse around Fox Hillway?
Yeah,
very shy and retiring character was Maverick. So I'm sure. I don't know. I reckon he'd get a few pinches and stomps on the footy field.
Hey, well done yesterday. We here thought you were best on ground regarding the journos that were asking Gil questions. You held him accountable and you kept him honest, Tone.
Well, Well, it's very kind of you to say that, but I mean, I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that it's not a competition among journos as to who asks the best questions.
Well, it can
but
be sometimes, Tone.
Well, it can be for some. Yeah, very, very close to your corridors there, yes. I would have thought, but I think the thing with Gil is, you don't see him, you know. But you know, in fact, I was having a conversation with my wife, and she said, "Oh, you got to give him a bit of a break because, like, you'd imagine the amount of interviews he does." And I thought, "No, he doesn't do any interviews. He does a weekly spot on AW. He might do the rounds of the radio boxes every now and again, but you know, he's one of the few public figures that isn't held accountable at doorstops. Now, we don't hesitate to wait for politicians to walk out of their office and jump on them, and we don't hesitate to do it with captains of industry." But for some reason, I think it was Andrew Demetriou had us all bluffed, whereby it was just an unwritten rule that you don't doorstop. Now, doorstop is obviously its very term, doorstop. You wait for them to get out of their car or in their car. In fact, Andrew Demetriou had this rule. Now, I don't know why we were so stupid as to sort of abide by it, but he had this rule: you weren't allowed to shoot him getting in or out of his car.
Fair dinkum.
Now, I don't know. I don't know whether it was because he was conscious of his body shape or whether it was because he was driving a non-AFL product car, but he had us all bluffed for a long time.
Hey, a bit going on in the caper too, by the way. Not only the crowd behaviour thing, but we've got betting, we've got pinching, we've got stomping. What the hell's happened to our game, Chompers?
Well, it's... Sorry, John? actually, James, you are partly responsible for that too, you and your stupid mate.
Well, I'm going to get to that in a moment.
Okay, righto. But in terms of the other things happening, I feel, and I don't know why I feel sorry for Jaden Stevenson today, but I do desperately feel sorry for him because, you know, I've been banging on about this for a couple of years now about gambling in sport. And look, Billy, I know you have a flutter, and you know that I don't. But that's only because my wife gives me a $20 pocket money each week, and I can't blow it on racing.
$10. And Nave Brown has a bit of a punt too, doesn't he, Tone?
Does he? Didn't know that. But I think that the gambling scourge is every bit as bad as drug and alcohol within local football. And I mean that sincerely, because I just think that the betting that goes on with the betting agencies, where they're constantly bombarding your phone with all these inducements, it's so hard for some people just to say no. And in the case of Jaden Stevenson, I don't know if he's got an addiction or not, but clearly he's got an issue. Well, clearly he's got an issue with gambling if he's doing it so blatantly.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think it's a big problem, and we need to try and get to the bottom of it as an industry. Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, let me just take you back. It was the EJ Witten Legends game, I reckon, and it was had to be 10 years ago. And we went up to the commentary box, and Gary and I were up there, and he might have said to me, I'm pretty sure those chompers on the Tone are a bit wider than they were a week ago.
They had a dusting.
I think they've had a dusting. And I said, well, I wouldn't bring it up, Gary, because I think that Tone's probably going to be a bit touchy about it. And he goes, good, we won't bring it up. And Tone, I reckon it was about the 18-second mark of the broadcast. We just might have mentioned that they looked a bit lighter to us.
I think it was the 18-second mark of the warm-up. I just think to myself, okay, well, but it's just taking on a life of it. And look, at the end of the day, I don't care. I mean, there's worse things you can be called. I mean, Bill gets fat and all the rest of it. And, you know, so look, it's water off a duck's back now. But, you know, it is what it is. And I remember, James, you might recall this too, we were up up at the Gold Coast. We did a pre-season game.
Yes.
The Lions were playing someone. And we were in the airport the next morning, in Brisbane Airport.
Yes.
And we were waiting for the plane to go back to Melbourne. And Lee Matthews was there. And, you know, Lee Matthews is not a great conversationalist.
No.
You know, he sort of he doesn't suffer fools, and you need really to be in his ilk to actually get into a conversation with him per se. So we're sitting in the Qantas lounge there, and then he looks over and he says to me, "Have you had your teeth done, Tony?" Anyway, I said, "Yeah, I have, as a matter of fact, Lee." Well, we got on famously for the next 45 minutes.
Well, my favourite tone, and there's been lots of examples, but at the footy show back in the day when Drewy Petrie just have a listen.
All right, thanks for joining us, Drew, and we'll see you on the footy show tonight.
Thanks, chompity chomp, chomp, chomp.
Okay, thanks for that.
Okay, thanks.
Tone, it's put you on the map, I reckon. It's single-handedly, you're already fine at what you do. I reckon it's just escalated you to a next level.
what, you just thought we'd chuck in an attempted kiss on Beck Judd and a fresh air handshake, a bit of a handball and an invite to a barbecue. And how's that gone for me?
You've got to be able to laugh at yourself,
Tone. You have stuffed up a lot of things when I look at it now, Tone.
And I must admit, at the start of each year, I say, what is it going to be this year? What am I going to do inadvertently? And, of course, well, no, I shouldn't bring it up, but the tennis. Right. Well, that was one to get out of the way early.
Oh, beautiful!
I just thought, I've never said this before about this Naomi Osaka interview, which seems to have now become the worst interview ever conducted on television.
Yes.
Jim Courier and Sam Smith, the female commentator who does a great job,
yeah.
And Jim Courier speaks for itself.
Yes.
So they've come up right just before the interview, and Jim says, okay, you just drive this, and we'll just. I said no. I'll just ask the first. You know, it's like in the football, right? The boundary riders ask the first couple, yep. and the experts take over. And he's gone, no, it's fine. And I thought, okay, something's going on here. and I'm looking at them as you do on a panel situation with the eye, as if to say, okay, you go. And they've just given me the. And I'm like, and your grandparents? How are your grandparents? And the trophy, was it heavy?
Tone, you're absolutely flying. We'll see you on Nine News tonight, of course, and the Sunday footy show.
10 a.m.
Lou's handball back, so it should be too after the legend Lou Richards. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Love your work, boys.
See you, Chomp.
Tony Judd does a very, very good job.
Very good.
Good operator, Tony.
And can have a laugh, too,
which is very important. And we're going to talk about this exact thing next, the Australian thing of the nickname. So we're just talking about Tone Jones, our man, and the fact that he got called to Chompers after he had his teeth whitened and he filthied up.
He did. Early days, no doubt.
And in the great Australian tradition of nicknames, if you're filthy up, it sticks.
If you don't
Thanks,
like
Chompers.
Sorry, what was that?
Thanks, Chompers.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, and mate, it sticks, doesn't it?
It sticks. And the footy show crosses because of whoever the guests were, we used to make sure. You and I used to sit with him and go, you make sure at the end when Tone said, thanks for joining us, good luck on the weekend, you say,
thanks, Chompers.
And exactly. Bill, all players would do it.
And it's stuff up the interview because all they wanted to do was get to the end to say, thanks, Chompers.
And, of course, when the great Drew Petrie gave it the chompity chomp, 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 it was just liquid gold because Chomp just got more and more annoyed with it, Bill.
But that happens around the office, Jim.
And we've had an example of it here.
Well, I call him Pumpkin.
Georgie.
And you call him Onion.
Well, what happened was we were talking about a prize and on air, and you've said, righto, well, George, who looks after the prizes, he said, and you call him Pumpkin.
Pumpkin,
Ed. Why?
Because he's got a big head like a pumpkin.
That's it. So I'm asking Rabs on air. I said, well, we can get him one of those things, can't we? Old Onion will sort it out.
Onion,
and you said, who the hell are you talking about?
It was Onion.
You made Onion, Georgie. And you went, nah, it's Pumpkin. No. Anyway, unbeknownst to me, Rabs, Onion's caught on. And he doesn't like it.
No, didn't like
and
it.
The fact that he doesn't like it, Bill, means from now on he will be known
as Onion.
It's the Australian way.
He won't like it.
Whitney doesn't like it.
No.
And as soon as you're filthy up, especially at a footy club or a workplace, about a nickname, it stays.
See, I hate horse. When you call me horse all the time.
No one ever has. No, that's funnily enough, that's never happened.
And it stuck with me.
So, hence 133353, tell us about the nickname that you've given someone or you know of where they've filthied up about it. Ooh. And on the back of that, Bill, it has stuck forever.
Like purple.
Purple's another good one. Because he dyed his hair and we busted him at the SCG.
Exactly right.
He didn't like the fact that he dyed it. It had a purple sort of rinse through it.
Tinge.
He didn't like it. He filthied up.
He did.
So it became purple from that. My good example, Bill. What are you giving away, Radzi?
You and three mates can head along to the McCafe seats at Marvel Stadium. That's VIP seating level 2, Marvel Stadium.
Oh, very, very nice. 133353, ring us. When has someone filthied up so the nickname stuck? So we love the Australian whole nickname thing.
Yes,
it's gold anyway, but especially when you get someone gets a nickname and they don't like it.
It's a culture.
Because normally, Bill, it's something a bit personal, a bit close to the bone.
That's it.
And they don't like it. And as soon as they display it, a footy club, cricket club, whatever, that they don't like it, bang, it stays forever.
It sticks.
And Daniel joins us from Pascoe Vale. Dan, man?
Boys, how are you?
What do you got, Dan?
Well, my mate's last name got spelt wrong once, and it was... got spelled Arnott's, and that's not actually his last name, so we started calling him Biscuits, Barbecue Shapes, you name it, we got it. So, yeah, it was pretty funny. But even myself, I get T-bone, medium rare, sirloin, all that sort of my last name sort of spelled like T-bone, so I get all that sort of stuff.
Oh, righto. You were going well there early and then just had to throw that bit in, Dan. Damien in Geelong. Go, Dame.
G'day, Billy. G'day, James.
Damo.
A nickname that has stuck.
Well, it stuck. It was Spud when I played cricket for Dan. Dan Salon.
I've lost it. Thank you.
Why did you get called Spud? Yeah.
Spud, because when I used to run between wickets, I'd drop the ball at my feet. And I'd call.
Yeah.
I'd go down to the other end, shake the guy's hand and get back to the other end. And he called me Spud because he says, you've got so many eyes, but you can't bloody see.
Spud got a lot of eyes.
No idea.
Very good, Dame. Very, very good. I love that one.
What happened there, Bill? Matt's in Hillside. Hello, Matty.
G'day, JB. Bill, yes. LA boys.
Might just be one of those days, Matty. Now, listen, who filthied up at a nickname, please? Yes.
One of me mates, known him for well over 20 years, the Ripper bloke, and he's got a little head and a big body, so we've named him Pear.
And he doesn't like it?
Oh, he's going to do it, boys. He's going to do it.
Well, that's it. When you cop it enough, in the end, you just got to wear it.
And Ripper's knows him by Pear as well, so it's fantastic.
Oh, gold. Well done. Stay there. Rocky and Truan.
Oh. Rock.
Oh, g'day, fellas. How are you?
Thomas part of the world.
Rocky Balboa.
What happened, Rock?
That's it. One of my workmates last year, crossing Melbourne and oncoming tram, and his girlfriend pulled her friend out of the way and left him to be hit.
Right.
He ended up with the name Ding Ding.
Ding Ding. Because of the tram.
Got hit by a tram.
I tell you what, you come off second best when you do that, Jim.
No, I would have thought.
Dell, Ding Ding.
Paul Thomastown, Bill.
Paul.
Hello, boys.
Yeah, Paul. Hey, good. We're up and about here, mate. There you go.
Yeah, just at work.
Yeah, all right.
That's it. Just
actually, you've got a nickname because it backfired on me. I gave someone the nickname Cletus because he looked like Cletus from The Simpsons. And then everyone started calling me Cletus.
Yeah, that can happen too,
that
Bill.
That can, yes.
You
exactly.
Think you're onto a good one with someone else and it gets turned on you. Chucky, Hopper's Crossing,
oh.
Chucky.
Oh, no, Chucky.
Hello, boys.
Hello.
Back again.
Hello.
We've got a bloke at work as filthy as anything, mate. Call him the Lantern.
Why?
Because he's dull and everybody's got to carry him.
The Lantern.
Stay there, it's good. It's good. Luke, Eltham, hello, Lucas. Oh, hello. Wow, have a listen to Lucas.
Luke.
Luke.
What are you doing, Luke?
What have you got going on there, Luke?
Oh, he's put us on hold.
Lucas. All right, hold on. We want to get back to Luke and see if that music stopped. Dale from Rosebud. Dale.
Hey, Skinny.
Oh, yeah, it's been one of those days already, Dale. Yeah. Now, tell us about the nickname that has stuck.
It's my nickname, Dale the Whale.
Why?
Because it rhymes.
Because it rhymes and my mates are not nice.
And you don't like it?
Nah, I hate it.
Are you big, like a whale?
I'm as big as you, Bill.
Oh, no, not. Can't be that big, surely.
No, I've trimmed up a bit, Dale.
No,
he hasn't. Dale reckons he hasn't.
No,
Jeff, Hampton Park, Jeff.
Hey, boys.
All right. Hey, there he is.
Jeff.
Look, one of my mates, we call him the clock.
Why is that?
Because his one arm's a bit smaller than the other.
And he doesn't like it?
He absolutely bloody hates it.
Perfect. And then it stays.
So he has actually got one arm.
That'd be the whole clock bit, Bill.
Or,
yeah.
Or he's got a second arm that goes really quick when it comes from the 12 to the 6, but slow when it goes from the
Phil
6.
Phil in Hillside. Hello, Phil.
Filthy.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are we?
Hey, Filthy.
Yeah, play footy with a bloke nicknamed Fetus.
Right.
All right.
When he was 20, he looked like he was about 40.
Right.
Now he's 30 and he's just moved out of home and we've named his house The Womb.
What's his first name, old Fetus?
That'd be Ben. He's probably going to kill me if he hears this.
Come
Ben.
On, Benny.
Oh, Ben. Just moved out of home.
Yeah, just moved out of home. They call him The Fetus.
They do, Jim.
Damon from Pasco Vale. Damo.
How are you, fellas?
Yes, mate.
We went on a trip to Asia with a mate called Daniel.
Yep.
And I've got shocking handwriting. They asked for a list and wrote his name down. And with the limited English, they started calling him Panuel for the rest of the trip.
Spaniel.
Oh, how good. Oh, this is one of the great things about Australia.
He cops Spaniel for the rest of his life.
Yep.
Should we get Luke? Give him another crack.
Luke's back there. Luke.
Hey, how you doing?
What happened before, Luke?
What were you, Luke?
Sorry, mate. Had the apprentice tell me off, mate. He's getting a bit too big for his boots.
What were you listening to? Who put us on hold?
Oh, I just had to have on hold there for a second. I don't know what it comes up as.
Oh, it's nice. Some heavy metal sort of stuff.
Soft
rock.
Easy listening.
Anyway, Luke, what do you got?
Anyway, yeah, same apprentice, mate. His nickname's Shark Shit.
Why?
Because he gets too big for his boots and he's nothing's lower than the bottom of the ocean floor.
Lower than
on the ocean floor, Jim.
I like it, Bill.
Oh, good one.
I like it, especially when people filthy up. I especially like it. And you can get the sense of it.
Oh, you can. Yeah. Oh, we love it in Australia.
I got Onion.
Onion,
not happy. No.
Purple, not happy. Chompers, not happy.
Thanks, Chompers.
You know who the winner is, Jim?
Who?
Chucky. Lanton, Dull, and we've got to carry
him. Got to carry him. I like that too. One. I like that. Chucky.
Hello, boys.
You and three mates, mate, are heading along to St Kilda versus Brisbane this weekend at the McCafe VIP seating at Marvel Stadium. Premium level seating on level 2. McCafe drinks on arrival and $200 of food and drinks as well, mate.
Oh, too good, boys.
Go and enjoy that,
well
Chucky.
Done, mate.
And Luke gets something too from Eltham. Not Luke, sorry, Jeff from Hampton Park. Luke.
Jeff.
Yeah, the clock. Yeah, One arm shorter than the other. He's called Clock.
We've got some brand new Nina in Pasadena thanks to Neverland Store, the home of Australian streetwear, neverlandstore.com.au.
Well done, Jeff.
Very odd topics. Well, it did fall in our lap with the chompers.
With old chompers.
We need chompers was coming in. All right, now what we've got coming up is a bit of footy news.
Jaden Stevenson.
Well, there's more. This is an amazing time for news. I know we've got the boys coming in, you're going to get us up to speed on a bit of that.
Yes.
And then midweek Rob with Damo and Nafe. Now, Scotty Thompson, of course, North Melbourne fame, hard nut defender.
Yep.
Sends me a note saying, Joel Crocker's called catfish at the club.
Why?
Because he looks like a 10 on Instagram, but he's actually a 5.
Catfished him.
That's
nice.
I like
that's
that. Good, Bill, good. It's everywhere in sport, and it's why we love Australia.
What'd they name Joel Corey? Smithy, because he didn't have a surname.
Yeah, that's it.
Joel.
So they gave him
Smithy.
Domsey.
Yeah, Domsey.
Because he looked like he had that disease. Bill, it's brilliant is what it is.
Good at it.
All right, now what do we got here with our man Jaden Stevenson?
Well, he's been handed the largest betting ban in AFL history, Jim. 10 weeks. 10 weeks suspended.
Yep.
There's 10 rounds of AFL footy to go, so he's available round one.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he can train with the club, but he can't play VFL during the time. He had 3 bets, Jim. He lost $36. He was also fined $20,000. So 10 weeks suspended and fined $20,000, plus he lost $36. And lucky enough, I caught up with him.
What?
And I said to him, "Hey, Jado, did you self-report yourself, didn't you?"
I suppose it's just how I've always been as a person. Mum and Dad have always been big on make sure you tell the truth, and anything that you're hiding will only hurt you in the long run. So I suppose as I said, it was 3 bets, and after the third one, I was like, this is actually accumulating to something that could be a lot bigger, and I just got a really guilty conscience. And I mean, I went and spoke to Walshy to sort out his advice. I was like, look, I have made a mistake here. I'm really guilty, and I regret it. So what can we do from here? And he said we'll take it to the AFL, and I was happy with that.
So he did self-report himself, Jim. Also, I caught up with him. I said, "Hey, now, mate, how did it happen? How?"
Yeah, well, I suppose sitting on the couch with my mate, and he was doing the same thing, and at the time, obviously, didn't think about the bigger picture and the long-term consequences, I suppose. Impacting on the integrity of the game, I now realise, is just not acceptable, and I hope others can learn from my mistakes.
Yeah, well done. Now, as I said the other day, I reckon he's a lovely boy, Jim. He's well-mannered. He's respectful. They love him at Collingwood. But it is just plain dumb.
Oh, it's astounding, Bill. That's what it is. Anyone who's spent any more than a minute in clubland knows that the education around not gambling on footy is everywhere, to the point where it drives you mad.
Exactly.
It completely drives you insane the amount of times you are sat down and told that under no circumstances can you bet ever on anything to do with footy.
Anything to do with footy.
So how you come, how you come all the way around to making that decision is just extraordinary.
Anyway. So he misses 10 weeks, Jim, and he's pretty fit. It'd be interesting to see if they bring him back round one.
Round the finals. Well, he's not able to play for reserves either, so he's going to have no match fitness under his belt at all. Very, very good player, though. If they go deep into the finals, they'll want him involved. Don't worry about that.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rush.
This one is good.
Triple M rocks footy.
Great to have the boys in. Damo and Nath, nice to see you.
Hello, Jim.
Always good, Jim.
And now, 22-week ban for Jaden Stevenson. 10 of those are in effect, I guess. Damo, what do you think?
Yeah, arguably lenient, Jim, from what we've gathered today. And as the details emerge, I would have, upon reflection, probably been comfortable more so had they decided to totally take him out of all possibility of playing again this season. People can line up the amount and say that it's a heavy-handed sanction, but I just line the stupidity up with what he's done and how a 19-year-old, albeit, can be in the system now for 2 years, which means he's had two different summers of education about, and it's not that hard. Don't bet on football, and he clearly has.
But there's no excuse for it.
But because he's self-reported would have helped him, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Still a pretty harsh sentence, though, whether he's self-reported or not. I think 10 weeks, they got it around right, I think, 10 games for that, because you don't want the players, because it opens up so much question and innuendo about other players being involved, and he's punting on maybe other players in these same game multis. So,
and 20K.
Very, very careful there. 20K. I don't think 20K doesn't hurt him. He's very well paid.
I think the embarrassment and
the 10 games is enough, and the fact that he's going to have to walk back into that footy club and Nathan Buckley's not going to have one of his star half-forward flankers who can change a game at the instant for the next 10 weeks and quite possibly finals, because you play 10 weeks out of this game, it is a sharp game to come back into without any football. Yes, he'll still be fit, but is he match fit come finals?
20K is a lot. They've got to pay it himself. He does. The club don't pay it.
So he should.
Yeah. But he's only in his second year, isn't he?
Yeah, so it's his first contract. So it was a high draft pick. So, again, just rough terms, Bill. Possibly 120 out of the season. Maybe a little bit more than that if you throw in every single game being played.
16% of his pay?
Thereabouts.
They haven't rolled him over?
Not that I'm aware of, Jim. They might have extended him, but he'd still be on his first contract.
Right. Yeah. The bets on games he's playing in doesn't help either.
That's the biggest issue, yeah. And again, people can refer to the amount and say, well, he's only had, on average, on the three bets in question in rounds 4, 6, and 9, $12 per bet on average. But there were bets that could shape the game and shape the way the game's played. Given one was on himself to kick a certain amount of goals, one was on a Collingwood victory, which you'd like to be the case, and one was on a possession count of a teammate.
The inside knowledge he has. I mean, he could have bet on a disposal count versus another player because he knows that maybe a player is going to be tagged. That's where the integrity comes into it, and that's why they like to keep it like that. And the 10 weeks is probably a good whack.
I have, a Damo, of course, in another life, been in clubland. I've sat through these integrity things at with the playing group where there are 46 players sitting in, you know, these theatrettes, and in come the AFL integrity people, and it goes for so long, and they are so specific about it.
Yeah.
And at the end, we had Scott Thompson just send me a text on another matter. So for Scotty Thompson, who's in his 12th or 13th year, he would have heard this 25 times. Yep. Seriously. So at the end of it, the footy club people come in. It was Walshy, who, interestingly enough, was involved in this one too with Collingwood. But Walshy would stand up at the end and go, boys, it's pretty clear. Don't bet on football ever. Yep. Don't be tempted to bet on football ever. Yeah. Don't bet anything to do with football ever. So I just, it is, and I hear Jaden's a ripping kid, but it is at the top level of stupidity in my view.
It's the peak level of stupidity, isn't it? When it's all said and done, you just don't do it. And that's why I'm not even factoring in his age and his maybe, his immaturity even. Just don't do it. It's not that hard. If he's smart enough to kick 40 goals in a debut season and win a Rising Star, well, he's smart enough to not.
So how do you handle it as a coach, Damo? Nathan Buckley, obviously, great respect for the players at the moment. He gets along so well with them. Yes, he's made, it's an innocent mistake. I don't think there's any malice to what Jaden Stevenson did, but now Nathan Buckley doesn't have a player who is unlike any other player in that list. I mean, you've got Jordan Dugowie, who's a beast of a player. You've got Hoskin Elliott, who's a very good kick and mark player. But Jaden Stevenson, the pace he has, he can change games. How do you handle it as a coach? Do you go, well, he needs to learn his lesson. He's not going to play for the rest of the year. He's not even going to play finals. Or I'm going to try and get him back to finals because I do love the kid. He's a good player and he can help us win a premiership.
The latter? But your point before, do you bring him back after 10 weeks out? I would think you'd probably be more inclined to bring him back if they've got the double chance, because that way you can give a game into him. And even if they lose, you might benefit from that. But if they do fall out of the top four, which, it's a possibility given we've still got 10 matches to play and they have to play an elimination final, I think it's then a line ball decision, no matter how well he's trained.
It's already a hard forward line to get into. I mean, yep. Ben Reed, completely different player, obviously, but he's out of the side at the moment. Mason Cox comes back in.
Elliot's
a lot of good players. Elliot's
the like-for-like, isn't he, such a thing.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ben Stratton
now. He got 2 weeks, Damo. One for pinching and one for stomping. And you were all over this. You said he should have got that.
I thought that was the right outcome, Bill. I mean, you don't always line up what you say beforehand and it comes out that way. But I just felt it was right to sanction him in that way.
Now, the Hawks aren't happy with the sanctions. Is that right? Is that what you're hearing? They say both charges should have only resulted in a fine.
That was their defence on the night. They've accepted it
fair
since.
Enough too.
And I think they're entitled to argue as hard as they'd like. But ultimately, he knew he was going to be suspended, whether it was one, whether it was three, ended up being two.
There was some talk of stripping him that they should, like this is from the outside of the footy club, that they should strip him of the captaincy.
Kane's
made a disgrace of the situation. He's embarrassed. Do people overreact? And was it Kane, was it?
That was Kane.
Kane went
that was
other
Kane.
People said it too, outside Kane. Other, people, I mean, but they overreact. Like, why? Ben Stratton is a ripping fella. He is a great leader of that football club, has been for a long time. Stripping him of the captaincy because he did something silly. Now, let's be honest. He did something that a schoolboy would do, and he needs a rap over the knuckles
which
for
he's got.
I don't think he needs 2 weeks for it. I think
no, I
ridiculous.
Thought two was a bit hard. Yeah. I reckon put the two together and 1 week missing, especially for the stomping.
The stomping's worse than the pinching, I think.
Do you? I just look at that. He's just trot on someone's foot. I mean, we see people get knocked out cold. Sean Higgins got knocked out and was unconscious for half an hour.
Yeah.
And the player that knocked him out played the next week.
That was Ryan Burton, wasn't it?
Treading on someone's foot for me is not worth a week. The other one probably is if you want to make an example of don't do it again. But, anyway, I thought those two together, if he misses a week, that seemed about right to me. Two seems a little bit heavy.
They've had a crackdown this week, the AFL, and I think their criticism of them, and we've done it ourselves, I've done it, has been that they've let things go. Well, this week has been a straightening up on a few issues, hasn't it? With the
About the Gil McLachlan presser, how did you see all that?
I didn't have an issue with it. I had an issue with him. I want to say an issue. I wouldn't have apologised because you know my views. I've made them pretty strongly last week. There's nothing to apologise for if what you're doing is trying to improve the environment in which people attend football. I understand why he did it, but then I think it. And then that lined up with Jeff Kennett's comments, Jim, and we can touch on that in a moment too.
Yep.
I now fear that people might feel emboldened, Brownie, to potentially go push back on security this week at venues. And I think that is a possibility out of what's happened this week.
Security will be better. They'll be more aware. They'll be at least taught how to be proper security guards, I reckon. I'd love to know the training and what they tell them to do, because I don't know if some know exactly what they should be doing, the security guards, when they put on the vest. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say after what happened on the Carlton game and the Hobart game as well.
Yeah.
What would you have done if you saw a security guard on the ground, Brownie, if you were scuffling with someone?
I don't think you'd have many time to react to it. You'd probably look at it and go, that's a bit weird, but I just think everybody needs to calm the hell down.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, Jeff Kennett, did he do a little 180, did he? He came out, he was very hard. Then he had a chat with Gil, and now he's being...
Well, he wasn't going to apologise. He'd spoken to AFL people, I believe a commissioner at least, and possibly commissioners plural, but certainly one that I know of. And on the morning after he initially said what he said, Bill, he was not in any way backing down. And then 2 hours later, he did, Jim.
He did.
And I'm glad he did too. Because
he had to.
Gil made a good point, and that is judge the people on their output in their role, not on their appearance or all the rest of it. So I think it was appropriate that he did. And
it was a racist comment.
A smart bloke.
It was a racist comment. You cannot get and hide behind what he said. It was a racist comment. And for him to think that it was okay to A, say, and then B, defend as a right to say, it just goes to show why some people think that some people running these clubs are not necessarily the right people.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We've got a couple of 100,000 people, I don't know the exact figure, obviously, going to the footy this weekend. Do they all now, with great clarity, know what they can and can't do?
No, and you're big on this, but I will just say something pretty simple on that, Jim. Just be respectful and work backwards from that. You think you need more clarity,
But the thing with me is I've never, it's why Brownie, I used to sit in the corporate box, because the amount of abuse that I used to get sitting in the outer meant you couldn't sit there anymore. So I think lots of people are appallingly behaved at the footy. Don't get
lots.
Me wrong. And I would like it to be improved, and I've said that all the way through. I just think there's now a lot of grey water in this. Yeah. I think a lot of punters now go to the footy and think, well, am I allowed to do
yell?
What am I not allowed to do? Am I allowed to boo? Am I not allowed to boo? Am I allowed to... That's where the confusion, I think, has crept into this issue.
And we probably... Everybody's asking for guidelines. There's no sort of guidelines you can say, okay, this is exactly what you can and can't do, because the list is going to be so long. But if you kept it as simple as don't swear at the football where other people can hear you, don't say anything that racially vilifies anybody religiously or from their sex or gender, and leave it at that. And I think that common sense and calmness should take over.
All right, we've got lots of other things to discuss in football. Bill's of the belief that the Hard Stadium in Perth has destroyed two football clubs over there.
And wait for the rugby league. Hey, rugby league this week.
Oh,
State of Origin 2.
No good over there, Bill.
New Zealand, Queensland do not want to play there, I'm telling you.
New Zealand.
Well, who are they playing? New South Wales or whatever.
Where you were born.
Mal Meninga. He'll do a cashie before he coaches them.
This is the Midweek Rub.
The chance is up.
Triple M rocks footy.
We've got Nath Brown in, Damien Barrett in, lots to discuss. We've got skill level to discuss too, Nath, because you and myself and Bill, among others, sat through the game up in Townsville between the Saints and the Suns. And as a very skillful player yourself, I reckon you would have been appalled.
I am a bit at the moment, Jim. I've got a few theories on where the skill level... I've never seen the skill level as bad as what it is in AFL currently. I don't think the game's ever been in better shape from a spectacle point of view. Fans through the gate. I mean, how we market the game. But pure skill level right now has gone back, I think. I mean, it's not as good as it was 5 years ago. It wasn't as good as what it was 10 years ago.
So explain that, because you've got full-time professional players. You've got facilities now at all the clubs that are so much better than anything you experienced as a player.
Ten assistant coaches.
That's it.
And I believe it's mostly the younger generation coming through. There's so many young players playing at the moment, and I don't think their skill level is up to where it was 10 years ago. And I genuinely believe it's because they have system-based game plans right now, and they train a system base. So
explain that.
Well, because everything's about defence at the moment, and they play in systems. So if this player goes here or my defender goes here, we try and move in waves. So I think they train defensively first rather than offence. It's always easier to train defence and be a defensive player than it is an offence player. So I just don't think they're getting enough kicks, because it takes so long to try and perfect the art of defence that I just genuinely don't believe they're kicking the ball enough at training or having to make the decisions. And it goes further than just skill level. I think it's decision-making as well. So they're not having to make the decisions that they were made 10 years ago. And you look at the players right now who are the best kicks in the competition and the best decision-makers, they're still the older players. Here's a list.
Yep.
Pendlebury, Sidebottom, Gary Ablett, Martin, Luke Bruce, Burgoyne, Tom Lynch, Eddie Betts, David Mundy, Robbie Gray, Sean Higgins. Now, I can't think of any young players from the 1 to 5 year category who are better kicks or better decision makers than those guys. But I don't think they came through that system-based program. They've been around for 10, possibly 12 years. The two younger players I think are equal to that are maybe Sicily and Bontempelli, who are elite kicks. But outside that, I think we've got a real issue with skill level.
We had Sean Higgins, Damo, and Bill, didn't we, at a dinner recently in South Yarra, and he said exactly that, but he did say that the pressure brownie is, the on-field pressure and the closing down of space is 100 times worse now than it was when he started playing.
Than what it was, but you look at those players that I just spoke about then, all have the ability to get out of trouble and still make a good decision, where I don't think the young players do.
But certainly it is quicker game. They run further. So they're fatigued. That's another thing
they'll
say.
Don't make excuses, Bill.
No, I'm not saying that, but that's what the players will say. They're fatigued because they run a lot further than what they did.
But these players still do it well.
Well, I'll tell you what I reckon's happened. There was a time where I reckon clubs targeted athletes and not footballers. I reckon it's slowly coming back towards...
Yeah, it is.
No doubt it's coming...
AFL footballers.
Coming
genuine
back
footy
to
players.
The genuine footballers,
Caleb
which is
Daniel,
good.
Caleb Daniel, I would argue, is an example of that.
Yep.
And a very good kick, yep.
Jim, I want to address an issue over in the West that involves a player by the name of your surname, who happens to be your nephew. We'll just go back to how it all unfolded at Eagles training yesterday, put on the club's social media platforms of Andrew Gaff having a shot at goal, and you'll be able to hear what's being said at him.
Andrew,
All right, the exercise was trying to put him off his game when he's having a shot at goal in one of those training incidents. It's all above board until you hear the words Andrew Brayshaw being uttered a few times. Gaff himself, given he knocked out Andrew Brayshaw last year, missed the remainder of the season at that point, and it meant he missed a grand final win of his club, has been embarrassed about what he did and has been embarrassed ever since. Apologise for the teammate Nathan Vardy saying that during a training session yesterday.
It's disappointing, no doubt. It's poor taste, and it's disrespectful, to Andrew more than it is to me. And I'll have a chat to if we know who it is at training today. And we'd want to apologise as a club.
And they're very remorseful. Generally, Adam Simpson, only an hour or so ago, has also officially apologised on behalf of the Eagles to the Dockers and Brayshaw about what was being said in that training situation. Being the uncle of the man in question, your take?
I don't think it's a big thing, Damo, but it's just making the person who did it, I think, look like a tool.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I see it. It's just like, you just look at it and go, well, why would you do that? You know,
is he? He made a mistake, which he's apologised for.
Yeah, and
genuinely.
And no, 100%. Yeah. And I think Andrew have done the right thing by it. They've cleared it up, and I think they've both handled it actually very well in the weeks and months afterwards. And I think it's a dead issue. Certainly Andrew Brayshaw would love for it never to be brought up again, because he doesn't want that to be what defines him as a young footballer who, I think, by the way, is playing bloody good footy.
Having a good little patch, isn't he? It's coinciding with the resurgence of the Dockers as well.
Yep. So, I think you get judged in our industry by your behaviour. And so whoever did that will be judged pretty harshly by his own peers, don't you think?
Yeah, I would have thought
You just look at that and go, mate, that's just poor. You don't have to do that. You know, get on with it and behave better next time.
It's not a hanging offence. No. But we
correct.
Everyone says sorry.
And no, it is, but it needs to be discussed the club put it out there. And Andrew himself, as in Andrew Gaff,
has dealt with it. Speaking of good young players, Bailey Scott undergoing surgery for a broken foot. He's
going to
miss a fair bit of
probably footy. The rest of the year, you'd think.
Yeah, you don't like seeing that, do you, for a young fella? A good young player.
Started too. Well.
Yep.
Started
looks really to have the goods, doesn't he? Have you seen enough of him to think that?
He's going to be okay.
No, maybe not as, well, in his first year anyway, maybe not as good as Terran Thomas.
No, he's been wonderful.
He's fine, isn't he?
But again, I don't think that snuck up on too many. He was hugely regarded by all in the draft.
Floats Terran Thomas, doesn't he? Just comes in from the side. He's got graceful movements.
He's got a great body. How old is he? 19.
Yeah, 19.
Big body. Big boy. Yep. And played senior footy over in Tassie. He's played a lot of senior footy.
The difference often is obvious, isn't it, when they get in there?
Yep. Hey, what about Melbourne, who overhauled its coaching positions with Brendan McCartney moved sideways, it says in the paper here. Also, Jade Rawlings has gone from coaching Casey. He's come to the forward line of Melbourne now. It's
a lot of changes.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Highly regarded Jade Rawlings. I hear very good things about him.
Jordan Lewis on Robbo and Jared 360 last night said he's the best coach he's had, and he's been playing down there with Casey, which was interesting, I thought.
He's been at it a long time, Jade Rawlings. He took over from Terry Wallace when Terry Wallace got the sack and came in, and he was nicknamed Jade the Blade back then because he came in and cut a lot of players. So Jade the Blade,
never heard that.
They need to do something.
And what I like about what they've done is they've used the bye period to start whatever they were going to do at the end of the year. So they've got a head start in that regard, haven't they? And then whether those positions stay, Bill, but at least they've been seen to be making change.
Halfway
and they had
through
to.
The year? Do you do it halfway through
Well,
the year?
What they've got wasn't working, was it? And now they're allowed to get some other different experiences into those people on their list in the coaching committee and the coaching group, which I think will set them up pretty well for other decisions that now need to be made and will be made at the end of the year.
What's Paul Roos up to, Damo? Because he said he will look at something at Carlton.
Playing the game like he always does, isn't he? I don't want to coach anymore. And then a week later, I might take a phone call.
It's a good club to coach, though, if you get a hold of that Carlton list at the moment.
Blokes were going to be all Australian.
13 I came up with, Bill. You wait for that. It's never ending.
It's almost as big a call as West Coast won't make finals this year.
13 of those players finish their careers. We'll see how many of all Australians.
Well,
a long-running bet, this one.
You said, we're not betting, Nathan, of course.
We'll give you Paddy Cripps.
Would Paul Roos come in with someone like Sam Mitchell, who could take over in a year or two? Something like that? Or
the way I believe Carlton was thinking at the time they made the move on Brendan Boltonbill was that Paul Roos was not going to be part of their thinking. Now, things change, and we always say that, and other influences come into play. But no, they feel they don't need the type, but going back 2 weeks anyway, that Paul Ruse brings, the educational style that he brought to Melbourne,
yep.
and set them up, absolutely set them up. But the way I was told, Jim, when they got rid of Brendan Bolton was they weren't going to go down Paul Ruse because they feel that the next coach needs to be someone who can take them up the ladder instantly, not the reset and rebuild that he did at Melbourne.
I am amazed at the amount of talk around the Eddie Betts Sydney Stack. It's still going.
Yeah.
I know. I see where Cam Smith, who we love, by the way, the legend from the Melbourne Storm, said he would have pulled up Sydney Stack for doing that on field if he was a Storm player.
And said, we don't do that here.
No. It amazes.
They come from a different cloth, though, the rugby league players.
Probably are. They probably are. But I just never saw any of that in that moment.
No.
I just honestly thought it was two blokes who'd had on-field banter knife for the whole game, in with great respect too. Yep. It wasn't anything nasty.
Oh, most people loved banter. It. Most
and then
people did love it.
Eventually, Ed, who had done not much, kicked one of the goals of the year, and then just turned around and found him and said, "I told you, brother, it was coming." I loved it.
What just general viewers of football love too. They love to see that two players who mutually respect each other are open enough to have that. We're so quick to just knock down players and say, you can't do this, you can't do that. Don't speak out of turn. When something like that happens, it should be celebrated.
Well, we saw Justin Rose on the 17th hole at Pebble Beach in the amazing chip from off the green that Gary Woodland played to basically win him the tournament. And Justin Rose had led or been around the leaders for pretty much the whole tournament and now had fallen away a touch. But he walked Omar about 15 metres across to just, you know, give it the old bang with the fist and say, mate, that's all time.
You can't beat
Sometimes
that.
You just got to do that, I reckon.
Yeah. What if the 95% to 97% of the AFL people love the moment? I think there was only a small spattering of people who didn't like it.
And the context to it too, I don't think we spoke about this on Monday, Jim, in the rush hour, but the lead up to it, 5 minutes earlier than that, Stack had smothered an Eddie Betts kick and he gave it to Eddie, just in that competitive way, and Eddie, oh, okay, whatever. And then, so it was only 5 minutes earlier that they'd had a different exchange, which was in that competitive spirit. But then when the release of emotion came when Eddie kicked that goal, it was just, I think it was one of the great moments of 2019.
I totally agree.
Loved it. Yeah. Hey, has the summit happened yet over there with West Coast and Freo about the ground and how hard it is, Damien?
Not again.
Jim, I'm telling you, there's the car park. They shouldn't have done that for starters.
Well, there's no car park.
But there is a summit, and they've got State of Origin 2 coming up, which both teams, I've been in the camps, because I'm a New South Wales boy, you know that.
What camp have you been in?
They flew me to Sydney.
Obviously had a big Bay Marine.
I think Kevy Walters said it is not an issue for us in one way, Bill.
Where have you got that? Damien, with your son. You need a haircut too. That island's getting a bit bushy up there. Look at his feathers.
It's hanging on, Bill.
Oh, it's just hanging on, my friend. Did you watch the Matildas last night?
No, but I was following it on the live updates. Good and win. I think Sam Kerr can kick four goals. Wow.
Four goals.
Suck on that.
Mm. First Australian to kick four goals in a World Cup, I think. You'll find. That's right.
In an entire World Cup. Probably. Line one game.
Exactly right. Hey, what else is going on, Nath? When are we seeing you across this fine broadcasting
weekend?
Going to
Sydney Friday night. We're going to have a good night at Hawthorne, Sydney. So we always go out for a meal afterwards and we'll see if Howie pays because
he's
extraordinarily tight, Howie. Very, very tight, Bill.
Bowen Head's beautiful spot.
You don't have to pay much down there. Tight, isn't he, Damo?
He actually played... he paid for us last
Damo,
time.
You're not working with me.
I'm just trying to, I'm defensive of Howie because we do give it to him. What are you up to, Jim?
Just normal broadcasting week for me.
Which is what, Jim?
Yeah, here we go.
Well, we've got the rub for the Freo Melbourne game. And then off to Adelaide.
My antenna's gone up now for a full 12 months.
Geelong.
On the brokering and the posturing behind the scenes with who's going to take over from Bruce. And
I find this disrespectful, Damo. I've said this to you. Great man is still in the position and working beautifully.
No, and it's his job for as long as he wants it, Jim.
Of course it is.
But it's going to be yours after it.
He's trying to position himself, is he?
Absolutely.
First I've heard of this.
Oh, Brownie.
Where have you been?
What are you... Where are you getting
any of this? What I want to ask you is,
happy about it, would he?
What are you doing Friday night? In Sydney, Essendon.
Yes.
Not Sydney. Sydney. It is Sydney. Sydney versus Hawthorn.
Sydney.
And then you're going to Adelaide.
Where are you, Sydney, on Friday night?
I'm in Sydney.
Covering the game?
Yes.
With Bruce?
No, not with Bruce.
I see you've kicked Bruce out.
I don't know why Bruce isn't working. I actually have no idea.
See, normally Basil gets the Sydney job.
He's only got one problem.
Yeah.
Natural arrogance. John, what's his name?
Anderson.
Anderson wrote it in the paper.
Natural arrogance.
He thinks he's number two now. It's between Hamish and Jim.
That's worked for him for so long, and natural arrogance.
And Jim's got rid of that natural arrogance. And he's, yeah, that's what he said. And
I haven't seen him get rid of it.
I love, no, exactly.
Have a listen to Fat. It's the line he's clung on to harder than anything else.
Natural You've got to have natural arrogance from old to wear pizza shop. A lilac hoodie.
A lilac.
Very good. Hey, you'd relate to the natural arrogance, wouldn't you, Brownie? You'd relate to that.
You've got it.
I just got a nasty text message from Mark Howard. He's not happy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Bad luck, Howard. I can't. It's got too many expletives in it.
I'll tell you what, arrogance, nice bit of arrogance. Our man on the handball last week, Maverick.
Maverick, yeah.
So let's just get Friday up there with you guys. You've got the
Hawthorn
huddle.
Sydney. We've got the huddle. Friday huddle.
Is there going to be a top five?
There's a top five every week. Darcy, the top five. It's back to me this week,
and
top five.
Can we tease anything out of that?
Well, the man we just spoke about. Howard.
Oh, give him a break.
No, we need to have a crack.
No.
He did pay for all our dinners last time.
Yeah, it's my turn to pay. It is.
No, it's mine.
Will Carlisle and Hanbury play for St Kilda this week?
I saw Dan Hanbury at chiropractic yesterday, and he seems to think that he might be right.
Right.
Nice.
So he plays. What about Carlisle? He needs a couple of games, probably.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's in too.
Gee.
Nice. I like it, Damo. Great. We look forward to seeing you up in Sydney.
Sydney.
With Howard.
I'll see you up in Sydney.
With Howard. Nave.
Yep. Bill, probably won't see you.
No, where will I be?
Bot. You stay here.
Bot.
The botanical. You go to the bot.
I've just got to guard the bot.
The Rush Hour on Triple M, thanks to our great mates Mazda and the Mazda BT50, Bill. There's a million reasons to drive one of those, but the number one reason to drive a Mazda BT50 is the end of financial year value. EFS, get a 2018 Mazda BT50 4x4 dual cab XTR ute.
How much?
From only $44,990 drive away.
That's good.
It is very good. Plus, you also get end of financial year bonus.
Yeah, want to hurry in? You've got a couple of weeks.
Get down to Ringwood Mazda, you reckon?
Yeah, of course. You can buy the one there. Oh, yeah, go and see old mate Dazzling down there. Dazzling.
No.
And Dazzling will look after you, Jim.
Forgot his name.
I did not. I would never do that.
Idiot. Now, Jim, I used to.
Oh, you used to.
By the way, we're at North. We're Mazda, great supporters of the Kangaroos, have been for 20 plus years. I had a BT50 for 2 years. You remember?
I did.
Was that sort of dark grey, beautiful chariot. Nice. They are a magnificent bus.
You thought you were a farmer.
Well, I was.
Jim, you know, the fastest hundreds faced off the least amount of balls.
What is wrong?
So the fastest cricket World Cup hundreds, balls faced,
thank
okay?
You, Bill. Righto.
So, like, because Morgan, 57
Owen.
Balls.
Yes.
Owen.
Yes.
For his 100. A.B. De Villiers, 52. Mm. Glenn Maxwell, 51.
Right.
Do you know who leads it?
And no.
Kevin O'Brien, who's an Irishman, plays
that's right.
For Ireland.
Yeah, that's right.
He made 100 off 50 balls. So in the top five are two Irishmen.
Yeah.
Because obviously Morgo is.
You know that Adam Gilchrist at the Wacker in a test match
made
100 off, I think it was 57 balls,
slogan.
And he missed Viv Richards by a ball. So Viv made one off 56 balls in a test match.
In a test match.
That was in Antigua, I reckon. He just kept bombing the Poms out of the whole joint.
That gilly that day, it just kept slogging. It was a spinner. Yeah.
Poor old
Offie. But,
Can't think of his name. Tell you make some quick hundreds.
Who?
David Warner.
No, he doesn't. Not anymore. Slow.
Warner, quiet again.
Quiet again. Very slow, Jim.
Quiet again.
Now, speaking of our girl Curry, what's her name? Samantha, who scored 4 goals last night against Jamaica, Jim. So 2 goals equals, what's that called in
two
soccer?
Goals. A brace.
A
brace.
Well, this and is then a hat trick. And then 3 is a hat trick. 4 is a haul.
A haul.
A haul is 4. 5.
Which our man did. In the Melbourne Archie Thompson in the final.
5 is a glut.
A glut.
Yes. 6 is a double hat trick. And Alex Morgan from Team USA, of course, she kicked 5 goals against Thailand. Remember there a couple of weeks ago when they got a bit parkeroon and were celebrating when they kicked goals 8, 9 and 10. But so 4 goals is called a haul. There
remember
you go.
When Archie came in and we had this.
Jefferson Farfan.
Farfan. Farfan.
Farfan.
Farfan. Farfan. Farfan.
Farfan.
Farfan.
Farfan. Farfan. That didn't go on like that. You've recorded that.
I'm telling you.
We need Archie back. He makes me sound like...
He does. Like he can speak. Brenton Johnson.
Einstein.
At Cavo 89. If Bill could speak fluently, the show would only last an hour.
Oh, come on, Brendo. Fair dinkum.
I like it. Get the feedback in. We always love the feedback. All right, Bill.
What else do you want to know?
Nothing from you.
We've got a first gamer for West Coast this week.
Know. We'll find that out next. Mick and Jane coming up next, of course, and the front bar not far away tonight. Of course, the juggernaut that is the front bar.
Tonight, is it?
Craig Kelly.
Oh, no.
Oh, Pinch.
Pinchy Pinch.
Old Ned.
He tried it on me. You ask him, Mick, he tried it on me, and I just said, no, mate, you know where you're going with this. So he stopped.
He didn't play on you.
Who else you got on the front bar?
And Titus O'Reilly. So that's the big lineup for the front bar tonight.
Yep.
As if they need any help. Absolutely airborne. Now,
I read
this. There's Thursday night football, of course. I read this, Bill. Eagles set to make 6 changes for the clash with the Bombers, including an exciting small forward debutant in Jared Cameron.
Do you know who he is?
Brother of Charlie.
Yes. I've seen him play in the underages.
And?
Little good small forward. Got a bit of lip.
Right.
Got a lot of lip.
Now, this is where it gets interesting for you.
Why?
Because you said that the West Coast Eagles won't make the finals. Shannon Hearn set to come back in.
Yeah.
Elliot Yeo set to come back in. Oscar Allen set to come back in for this game.
Yeah.
But then it gets more interesting ahead of their game next week against Hawthorn.
Because they've got a lot of injuries because of the ground.
Tom Barris back in. Nick Natanui back in. Well, so a team that aren't going to make the finals, according to you, will bring those 5 players back into their best 22.
They've got to win tomorrow night, Jim. A
they
big game
are
against
an absolute certainty to play in the finals, I think to host a final.
He's playing VFL this week, Nick Nat.
Well,
WAFL.
VFL,
yeah. Yeah, sort of WAFL.
It's in Victoria.
Yeah,
sort of well, Victorian
WAFL
football
waffle. Then
so, Bill,
we're on Victorian football.
We're on West Coast watch.
Buttons.
After your statement.
We are. And we'll see what happens.
Righto.
And if I'm right, what will you say then?
If they miss the finals.
Yes.
Righto. Well, they can't. There's no way they can miss the finals.
That'll knock your natural arrogance around.
I think they've already won enough games, to be honest. Anyway, tomorrow on our show.
Yes, who we got?
Marcus Harris coming in prior to leaving for the Ashes.
And you know who he's been playing with up there in Queensland?
Who?
Josh Hazlewood, who would be nice in the Australian side.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. And Paddo's just taken 6 Jay-Z Clark as well. So, nice big
porky
serving tomorrow. All right, now something humorous, Bill.
Yes, you might have heard it.
End the day with a laugh.
This
is Billy's joke.
Let's face it, if your socks are knocked off by Billy's joke, time for new socks. All day socks by Underworks. Nothing knocks these socks off.
Just good jocks and socks.
Listening to who they are. Chris Scott, Geelong plays Saturday night over in Adelaide, Jim, and Patrick Dangerfield's wife is pregnant and due, so stand by.
I don't know, joke.
Yes, 2 men are walking down the street and they see a dog licking its nuts, Jim.
Yes.
One of the blokes said, I really wish I could do that. The other bloke said, well, he looks friendly enough.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
He looks friendly enough.
That's it, Bill. And whereas the bloke was actually talking about being able to lick his own.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he was trying to say. I get it.
And the dog
looked friendly enough.
He'd let you do that.
You probably wouldn't want to take to a dog's nurry bag, would you? Really?
I don't know if you would, Jim. No, I wouldn't. Anyway. Woo!
Oh, no.
Not bad. Not bad. Oh, there he is. Ooh, let the dogs out. I heard this in somewhere. This song, I heard it somewhere, Jim.
Probably at the end of last
year. No. During the week. Woo! Basketball. I am the king of the divan.
Mazda. Get an end of financial year bonus on Mazda BT50.